Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just stand tonight and read a quick scripture. Amen. Out of Psalms 34. So good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. Certainly appreciate the Lord for allowing Sister Eric and I to go away and come back safely. Amen. I understand that we had church on Sunday. And that's real good. And we're looking forward to also continuing that tonight. Amen. Let's just read a few verses here out of Psalms 34. If you go. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried. The Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The angel Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. God, we thank you that we can put our trust in you. You are a firm foundation, sure. And Lord, it's just a privilege of ours to know that we can bring all of our requests to you, God, and know that you'll take care of them. But you, Lord, are our way maker. Lord, you are our provider. You are our deliverer. You are everything that we need and more. And we're grateful for that tonight. As we come, Lord, just to worship and to praise and to bless your name, we ask that you minister to our hearts tonight. And we just trust, God, that you meet us here in a special way. Lord, the saints press their way out on Wednesdays just to come to the house of God. And it's because we love you. And Lord, we want to hear from you. So we trust, God, that you'll speak to us as you spoke to Adam in the cool of the evening. Speak to us, God, tonight is our prayer. Bless those saints that may still be on the way. May they arrive safely, God. Those that can't make it tonight for whatever the reason, we ask that you look upon them as well. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen and amen. Let's just sing a few choruses of this song. I will bless the Lord with all my soul and all that is within me. Amen. For he has done great things for me. Is that your testimony? Hallelujah.
Bless his holy name.
Come on, I will bless the Lord.
Oh, my soul and all that is within.
I will bless the Lord.
Oh, my soul. And all that is within me. Bless his holy.
Come on, one more time. Lift your voice to heaven tonight. I will bless the Lord.
you have done great things for me. Oh, for he has done great things for me. Yes, he has. He has done great things for me. One more time, he has done great things for me. Oh, I know that he has done great things for me. Oh, he has done great things for me. Thank you, Jesus. He has done great things. Oh, bless his holy, holy name. Come on, put those hands together for the Lord tonight. Come on, worship him because he has done great things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen.
Well, tonight we... ask Brother Smiley if he would come and just minister to our hearts. Amen. Sister Eric and I just got off the plane a few hours ago, just making it back home, and I said, I just don't think I'll be ready. So he agreed to come over and just be a blessing, amen, to us tonight, and I'm so grateful for that. Thank you for your prayers for us on last Wednesday night. We had very, very successful meetings, and I'll give more information a little bit later. But as we like to just try to get the word going on Wednesday nights, we don't prolong it too long, but I want him to have liberty just to come and preach what God has placed in his heart, and then, you know, we'll go from there. But tonight I did want to say this. Being that we're doing things a little different, make sure you enter in. Get everything God got for you tonight. Amen. And I'm sure Brother Smiley got notes, but he's the one of those ministers that as the Lord would lead him off of those notes, he'll quickly follow the Lord. And amen. So whatever you have need of tonight, please enter in and receive everything God has for you. Amen. We thank God for him being here. Amen. The saints from Okeechobee, amen. God bless you all. We thank you for coming to, amen, be a part of the service here tonight. Amen. Amen. Let's just keep singing a little bit of this as our precious brother comes.
I will bless the Lord with all my soul. Everybody say, I will bless. Side, Father God, we ask that you anoint us afresh, anoint the hearers of the word of God, anoint tired bodies, Lord, revive us again, Father God, rejuvenate us, Lord Jesus, Lord, rejuvenate the atmosphere, Lord God, and Lord, when it's all said and done, we, Lord, be so gracious to give your name the praise. We thank you for taking Brother Jack and Sister Erica across the waters and bringing them back safely, Father God, and using them, Lord God, to be a blessing to just another portion of the bride of Jesus Christ. And we just give your name the praise, glory, and honor for all things tonight. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Just turn around and greet somebody. Amen. You don't have to walk around, but just your neighbor. Good to see you. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Good to be able to be supportive tonight. Good to see everybody. I ask that you just get your Bibles out tonight. It's good to have some of the saints from the church here, Brother Capers. That was a good surprise there tonight. Sister Wason. We want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 now for the church. The ones who are here might have heard. That's the thing, in my kids and family, when you follow their pastor, well, you might hear the same thing. But, you know, one of the things I've learned, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, sometimes it really takes hearing something multiple times before you really even get it anyway. And so it don't matter if you tuned in, and if you got a need, God will speak to your heart tonight. And that's what we're trusting that he'll do tonight. He'll speak to us and give us something to encourage us tonight by his word. We want to maybe start at the 7th verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, persecution and distress, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong." Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word tonight. You may be seated. I've been working with this little thought for maybe 3 or 4 services, and when you think about grace, my topic tonight is grace sufficient for the age. And you know, when you start looking at it, I know a lot of times people in their mind, we try to pinpoint certain scriptures and just point it out, and I try to isolate the scriptures, but and just doing some studies, there's so many avenues and so many approaches to this particular scripture. And just when you think about just the grace of God, it just covers so much, right? And we realize that we're living in an age where it's so much that grace actually have to cover, because we're fighting so many different things. One of the things I say this all the time, but I'm grateful for the opening of the Word of God. I'm grateful that God placed Scripture letting us know that he was going to have us a mouthpiece on the earth in this hour, and that this mouthpiece will get some information to give to us, and that information that's been given to us is God's grace to this generation that we're living in. Just apart from the information that's been given, we would all be deceived. We would all be defeated from a spiritual standpoint. Now, I'm going to go a certain direction tonight, but just give me a minute. Y'all ain't in no hurry, are y'all? You know, one of the things, we approached it differently Sunday, and I was just trying to show the church, you know, what's been loosed in this age and hour that we've been that we're living in under that sixth seal is an ecclesiastical spirit. And then if you understand scripture, you can see where, and we know that the prophet never really actually preached it, the trail of the serpent, but you could trail this antichrist, anti-word spirit all the way down through the Bible. And it's been this ecclesiastical spirit that has been the thing all through the scriptures that has binded people, that has caused the people problems, that has pulled the people away from, because it's always teaching. Right? It's always teaching. See, I mean, when you look in scripture, and I'm not going to go this way, I'm going to try not to. but when you look at the Bible, before it was drinking, before it was smoking, before it was any adultery, before it was murder, things of that nature, when you go all the way back, amen, to heaven, right? What caused a third part of the angels to fall? It was just a teaching. It was something that was presented to the angels that was contrary to God. Right? Well, I don't want to go that way because I left my notes back there to go that way. But I said all that just to let us see why grace is, we needed something sufficient, not because we're not in the days of Luther, we're not in the days of Wesley, we're not in the days of Pentecost, right?
Right.
We're in a bright age.
Right.
I mean, Laodicean conditions, right?
Right.
Blind, wretched, and naked, right. And don't even know it. That's the spirit of the age that we're living in, right?
Right.
But we needed something to combat. We needed information to be given to us in this age that we're living in that we can see Satan and all and understand all of his devices.
Yeah. Right.
Because every age produced overcomers.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
One of the things, you know, maybe we'll look at Paul because I'll get thrown way off, but it'll be right in line with our thought. Like I said, you know, because it's broad. It's not a shallow thought. It's a real broad thought.
Yeah.
But looking at Paul here in the scriptures, just the background, one of the things we know in looking at the writings of Paul and Paul's own testimony, we go back to the book of Acts and different things. We know when the birth of the church first started out, Paul, we know that Paul was a very intellectual man, very zealous. You know, he had letters from the high priests and the different ones to bring destruction. You know, let me tell you something. It was the grace of God for Paul because with all of his worldly carnal knowledge, he still really didn't know where he was at in the scripture.
Yeah,
because you're educated, because you know the letter,
right.
That really don't mean anything because the letter killeth and the spirit of giveth life.
Yeah.
It takes the spirit of God to make the scriptures live,
amen.
To make the scriptures a real reality,
amen.
Right? To raise our understanding of the scriptures up out of history. Because so many people, right, tonight in church preaching a historical Bible.
Amen.
And we've had somebody to raise us out of history. So this is not a history book. This is not a history lesson.
Right.
But it's present day light on the word.
Yes.
And so, you know, Paul comes on the scene and you know, he had all of these credentials. Paul, you know, had authority. Paul had credentials. Paul could, you know, have meetings in any city, right? I mean, Paul was a very intellectual, very learned man. He could speak in multiple languages and things of that nature, right?
Right.
Now, we're going to go somewhere tonight. And, you know, Paul had all of these different things going for himself, right?
Yeah.
You know, when you look at that, that's just the nature and the mindset of humanity. We nobody wants to be small. Nobody wants to be little.
Right.
We all in our mind, we think big. Right? If you be honest with yourself,
right.
Nobody want to live in a shack.
Right.
Everybody want to live in a mansion.
Right.
Everybody, you know, if you're honest, you want to drive a fine car.
Right.
You want to wear fine clothes.
Right.
If you can wear a whole lot of jewelry, you want it to be fine.
Oh,
y'all don't preach with me tonight.
On,
is that right?
Right.
You want it on that level. That's the mindset of humanity.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
But, you know, God can't use that. Right? And see, when you look at the scriptures, you got to really be able to read between the lines. Right?
Amen.
Because I believe that when Paul got to this place in the scripture where he was praying, right, I believe that it was, now this is my belief now, you know, it's just like eating pie, you know, or chicken. If you feel like it's a bone, then you spit it aside and keep eating meat, right? But one thing about it, I always have something to back me up with. It's just something that, you know, in looking at this, that I think that, that's on a greater level, but it speaks to the heart of the believer, right? That when Paul was in, we know the account of Paul. Paul, you know, was going to Damascus to, you know, capture the believers and bring them up under bondage and things of that nature.
Right.
But then, because, amen, he was predestinated in the mind of God to do a service for God, to be the messenger of the Ephesian age, that God had to knock Paul down, right? It's ironic, but God, I see God doing that through scripture.
Yeah.
God will let a man build himself up.
Yeah.
Right? Build himself up. Get a rep. You know, like we say in the morning, get a rep. Become somebody. You know, get everybody, you know, pat you on the back.
Yes,
you know, be like Brother Digg was saying the other Friday, you know, just get you, when you walk in someplace, somebody give you one of these, you know you in there. You know, because, you know, you got to be somebody when you walk in a place and everybody, you know, because when you ain't really nobody, ain't nobody going to want to be identified with you.
Right.
Well, yeah, you know, Paul was one of those individuals that no doubt there was a lot of talk about Paul,
right?
Come on.
Yeah.
In his spiritual community,
right,
there was a lot, no doubt, many people saying, man, Paul is going to be probably the next high priest. I mean, because he was on that road,
yeah,
right? I mean, but I'm bringing this because I'm just, you know, want to show us a little something, really show us the nature and the character of God and how God does things. We can see it in the life of Moses. God allowed Moses to raise up 40 years in Pharaoh's house, get all of this education,
right,
only to send him, amen, to the wilderness to get all of that stuff up out of him, right? God's not going to, amen, no man is going to get glory. Amen. If you do anything, if you accomplish anything, it's going to be by the grace of God. Right? I've learned some things being a minister over the years. I've learned something. Anytime you get to the place where you feel like, boy, I'm the man. I'm a preacher and I can this and boy, I can grunt and nothing. God will stop that. It's been times I've walked to the pulpit. It ain't been a long time, but I've learned to give him the praise, man, and wouldn't nothing come out. That's a bad feeling. You step up to the pulpit and then or your mind go blank and you like, Lord Jesus, what in the world? Oh, God. And you can't move. And you sweating. You know, they say don't never let them see you sweat. They could probably see sweat dropping everywhere. Mind done draw a blank. But God does that. But, you know, God allowed Paul to get all of these credentials and to get all of this stuff. Now, God, look, God can use smart people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you know, I don't believe in illiteracy. I believe in, you know, people getting education and getting some schooling behind them. You know, I know we're in the message. But I still believe in young people going to school and getting education and trying to better themselves. But one thing, when it comes down to God, especially the way that they teach you, you can't approach spiritual things from something that's natural and common. Because spiritual things are spiritual discerned, right? But, you know, God chose this individual with all of that, right? But then what God had to do, God had to knock Paul down. Right? Because you know, it's just the nature of I don't know if I'm able to read, but I'm just do it the way it come. I'm not home, so normally I just have to. But it's because it's the nature of people. Right? And I've seen it over my last maybe been saved now almost 25 years, close to it, right? And I've seen people that'll start out humble, right? People that start out humble, praise God, little brother, and the more you know, God start blessing you, right? The more you start traveling. You start getting out, the more your name start buzzing around, you know, your circles. And folks start patting you on the back. God know that, oh, Lord, I got to watch him. I got to watch her. Right? Because, I mean, it's the same thing with singers and songwriters as it is with preachers. Gifted people, whether it's tongues, interpretation of tongues, gifted people. Right? And look, Paul was given a complete understanding of the scripture, right? He said he was given the revelation of the mysteries of God that was hid way back, right? I mean, Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament. See, God in his sovereignty knew that with all that Paul possessed, I mean, with all of his intellect, with all of the languages, and already with all of the authority that Paul had, right? Paul, God knew that with all of that, and then giving Paul the revelation of the mysteries of God, right? Compounding this vast knowledge onto, you know, all about everything else that he had, right? God knew, you know what? Man, I got to knock this man down. I got to do something in the life of Paul to keep Paul in a place where I could use Paul, right? Where I could use Paul. Right? I mean, he says it here in the scripture, right? He says, lest I should, 7th verse, should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation that was given me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul testified to the Corinthians church, right? That God gave Paul something, you know, that when he would, you know, maybe get well, then he'd go down again. When he would get well, he'd go down. Something that it would buffet him, just blow after blow, right? I mean, but that was God's grace, right? You might think, oh, you know, and then you're looking at scripture, and you're thinking, well, God is a healer. God is a deliverer, right? God is all this. And, you know, why am I going through this?
I know I've seen God heal.
Yeah.
Right? I've seen, and why am I going through this? And you know, Paul, at a place in his ministry, he praying about this, right? He's praying, God, why are you allowing me to go through this? Now, remember something here. Paul was in a place of what we call strength, power, authority. Right? But it was really all carnal and humanly. Right? Intellectual education, he still didn't really know God.
Right?
Because had he to know God, he wouldn't have been a man persecuting the church. Right? It was all intellectual. It wasn't quickened. Right?
Yeah.
Because had it been quickened, he would have been able to follow God.
Right?
Right? Amen. But it was all, you know, pretty much carnal. But here he in this, you know, it takes the grace of God. Right? It takes the grace of God now. Being in this state, going from a position of power and authority and allegiance, and you know, a place where man, you can get a meeting in any church, you can go anywhere and preach. That's a quote, right? And now you find yourself weak. Struggling,
that's right.
And especially when your friends start walking away from you.
Yes, sir. Yes,
man,
sir.
Could you imagine his friend Demas walked away from him?
Exactly right.
Oh, God.
Exactly right.
Y'all know y'all Bible?
Yeah.
Demas, his buddy,
right,
walked away from him because he looked at like, wait a minute, Paul. Man, what's going on with you? Man, you're looking weak and seem like your ministry ain't doing nothing. See, just shows you the carnal mind, the way that the world perceives how ministry supposed to be productive. Right? Amen. You know, Paul said, you know, I've mastered human ability. I've come to a place where I realize that it's no more I, but it's Christ, right? I mean, Paul realized, you know what, this is the will of God, that when I'm weak, I'm strong. And but, you know, carnal-minded Demas looking at Paul like, my God, Paul, it because of perception. It was his perception. You know, Paul, with all the education that you got, with all this revelation, man, you know, you should have a church full of folk. It's supposed to be, you know, Brother Jack, with all of the understanding we have, amen, because of the opening of the word, there's like, man, Brother Jack, those curtains should be wide open. This place should be packed up in here tonight. It should be a fight to get in here to get a space. Chairs should be all around. Right? With all of the understanding and the way that you dissect the word and your knowledge, and when we ask you questions, you know, my God. You know, and that's how Demas was looking at Paul's ministry, saying, my, Paul, your ministry is depleted. There's nothing there. Man, look, man, with all of that, you should have a whole lot of money. You shouldn't be struggling, but you're telling me to bring you your coat.
Oh my.
It's getting cold. You got one coat.
Oh my.
Bring me my coat when you come.
Yeah.
with the abundance of revelation and all that you got, with all of the languages that you could speak and all of this and all of that, right? Paul, you should have a whole, man, line of coats and garments and money everywhere. You shouldn't be out there making tents, Paul. Working? Oh, God, you shouldn't be working, Paul. With all that you possess. And no doubt, look, church, let me tell you something. We can't look at Bible characters like they were some super individuals. They were no different than me and Brother Jack. In a different era, right? 16 elements. They might have wore gowns. We wear suits and ties. Right? They weren't no different. They were men. And could you imagine, you know, could you imagine a man like Paul that has all of this education and all of this, and he come to the Corinthian church and said, man, when I came, man, I didn't come to y'all. I came to y'all in fear and in trembling. Yeah. And I didn't come to y'all with the excellent words of man's wisdom. I didn't want your confidence to be in unswelling words. Right. And he knew that he could come there and dazzle the people.
Right.
Right? Right? He could dazzle the people with knowledge and understanding and, you know, big words and, right? Amen. Men could have been blown away like, my God. But Paul said, you know, when I came to y'all, could you imagine that? Right? It takes the grace of God. Right? When you got all of this, right? You got all of this, but now you in this state that it seems weak. You feel like, you know, you're insignificant. This, you know, let me tell you something. I believe by this statement I'm gonna read you that Paul wrestled with being in that state. Right? Yeah, a man that could go in any city, have a campaign, had letters, had authority, could probably eat at the table of the high priest, right? Probably could eat at the tables of great men, could be in the fellowship when certain people could just look at on from the outside in. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We, you know, we've been there, even in church, even around the Word of God. You know, the special minister section, and you can barely say God bless you, brother. You know, and you know they're over here and you over there, and y'all know how that feels, right? You feel like, I guess they're the untouchables.
All right now.
And I need a touch, but I can't touch them.
All right,
I can't get a hold of them. Yeah, I can't fellowship. And these are supposed to be the people that you could get a hold of.
Yeah.
See, ministry got it all messed up.
Yeah.
You know, when you need a God with skin on him, you can't touch him. Aren't you glad that the Son of Man wasn't like that? It was a little woman that said, if I can only touch. I'm about to get loose up in here. The hem of his garment, I'll see a change. You know, and it's just to show you the carnality of people.
Right?
When she touched them and everything, you know, it was like, they look around like, man, Jesus, everybody touching you. You know, different ones coming up to Jesus. Whoa, 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 back up, back up. Did he say that's why I'm here? Right? Trying to reveal to them something.
Right,
yeah. The God of glory come down, dwell in flesh. Right? Amen. Came down here, you know, to be weak.
Amen.
But in that condition, we could be made strong. Right?
Amen.
But, you know, getting back to Paul, you know, if you really look at how Paul was praying, it wasn't just about Paul conditioning what Paul was going through. Right? I believe that there was something down there in Paul saying, I remember when.
Right now.
I remember when You know, man, boy, I was strong, right? Not just naturally, and on a different level, right? No doubt there was a struggle, right? Amen. Power's a human. Let me just read this for you right quick. He says, oh, what a preacher, the great man who sought God. He said, oh, God, I'm weak. I don't know what to do. I just pray you, God, to strengthen me. That's perfect strength by perfect weakness. It's on quote 93. It said, I just pray, God, to strengthen me. Take my infirmities away from me and these things so I could be stronger. And God said, nope, I'm not going to do it. Because you're right at a place where I could really get the best out of you. Right? Amen. That was, look, church, I mean, as a human being, let's put yourself in Paul's place. Right? It would be a struggle. Think about it.
Come on.
Let's give it to you like this. If you was a wealthy man today and you lost everything, right? Man, you would always still be looking up. Like, Lord, I remember when I didn't struggle to pay my bills. Huh? I believe there was a time where Paul had more than one coat. I believe Paul knew what it was like to be able to live and eat, right, a certain way, live under certain conditions.
Amen.
Now, man, got one coat, really don't have any friends. Now I'm living in fear. You need grace. Huh? You need grace. You fear for your life. You packing all this, but you're living in fear, right? Now you're saying, you know, and a lot of times folks think that they could use psychology. Right? When we pray and we try to talk to God, we try to use all kinds of psychology. God knows better than we know ourselves. God knows what's beneath those prayers. Right? Well, God, see, if you heal me, you make me stronger. Then I could be a better witness of this message that you've given me, God. And God said, you know what? My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. You know, God saying, you know what? I know what you was like when you were strong. Right? Sure, I know what you was like. I saw the zeal. I saw all of these things when you had it going on and all this and that and the other. But right now, I got you wet, right in a place where I can get the best out of you. I could get the most out of you. Right here in this state. And see, Paul, see, and you got to look at something. Paul probably figured if I was healthier, if I was stronger, I could do more. Nope. You get stronger, you get healthier. God might have to take you off the scene. Right? Because you might get in the wrong spirit. Take the wrong attitude. Right? You might get, praise God. You might start remembering when you were Paul. Or Saul.
Right.
Forget about you got a name change. You might go back to the days of Saul or Tarsha. When you were strong, you were Saul. But amen, I want you weak. You're Paul. You're the messenger of the age. You're in a place where I can use you. My grace is sufficient right there. When you're weak, then you're strong. Paul was right at his best, right where he was at. Right? Right where he was at. Right? Amen. You know, one of the things I've learned in studying, we have to master the thought of human ability. Right? That's why we got to die. How long have I been up here? We got to die. Right? We got to die to ourselves. Right? Die to cultures. See, I think a lot of times these are the things that hinder people around the gospel, because we got so many hang-ups. We got culture. And then we try to mix culture and all of this with the gospel. Those things don't work. Right? Well, I'm black, and I'm this, and I'm Asian, and I'm... You can't mix that with the gospel.
Right?
Amen. This is why we need a birth. Because you'll never stay in this weakened state, right, without the new birth. Right? Paul had to have this experience with God. God put him in this state, right, that God could get the best out of him. That God could express himself through this individual in this state, right? One of the things we got to realize, this ain't redeemed. This get its redemption, but it's not redeemed. Right? This is always our hang up. Right? The flesh, this thing that we're living in. And that's why we just got to keep this Bible on this thing. Right? Because it'll rise up. You'll start thinking about when you were Saul. Your attitude will begin to change. Your walk will begin to change. Everything begin to change, but you're in the message. A lot of times, that's a lot of folks' hang up. They start getting this abundance of revelation. And instead of them staying, amen, weak and humble and submissive, we want to be strong. We want to feel like we're somebody. This might mess a whole lot of folk up. I mean, you know, you start feeling like you're somebody. Praise God. Let me tell you, amen, what's been revealed to me. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Come over here. Brother Jack, Brother Smiley, they don't know anything. Let me show you what's been revealed to me. Half of it be death. Right? You know, this here get the raising up, you know. And you can see why a lot of times, you know, God has to do things and bring us to places, right, that he could get the best out of us. That we'll approach things in fear and in trembling. Not in arrogance and might and so much what we call power and authority of man and all of that. We see those things make messes. Right? And this is why God telling Paul, my grace is sufficient. Right? You are right where you at. You know, and let's face it, some of us, I'll be realistic with you sometimes. You know, I have to pray, oh God, what's happening here?
Come on, preacher.
Right?
Come on.
What's happening? I mean, there's a part of, you know, me that struggles.
Come on.
Right? Because I want stuff.
Right.
I want to feel like I'm somebody that had accomplished something.
Wow.
Y'all ought to preach with me, somebody. Yeah. It's all right to say amen. Come on. You want to feel like you're something. You want to feel like you're somebody. And God said, but my grace is sufficient for you, Smiley.
Amen.
You know, I know where you're at. I know the place that you're in. Don't think that God didn't know the place that Paul was in. God knew the place that he was in. God knew that he had one coat. God knew that his friends walked away. God knew all of these things. But God also knew what was most important. That you be an instrument. That you could be a threshing tool. That's most important. Right? Because sometimes we all pray like that. Bigger house. Better car. No. Y'all different than Brother Smiley. I know y'all don't. I know. It's only the preacher tonight. It's only the preacher tonight that, you know. Yeah, there's a part of all of us to sell God. Man, you know what? When I was young, you know, I had ambitions, God. And look at me. Sometimes I say, Lord, how you take a city boy and put him in the country? My grace is sufficient, though. Over the years, even before Brother Jack started a church, we talked about it before I even knew he was planning on working on a church. I was telling him, we were talking one day, and I said, Brother Jack, I just feel like trying to start a work in West Palm Beach. And he didn't tell me at first. He just said, oh, yeah. And we went on. It was later when he told me his desire. And I said, well, okay, well, you know. I just never got a pull to do it. I never got a pull to do it to come this way. But in the flesh, especially when it feels like you ain't growing and things of that nature, and it's like, oh, man, what? Woo, Jesus, and you praying, and you saying, my, I'm growing in understanding, and you know, your church is maturing, they're becoming solid, and you can see the unity of the faith, but it's like, but child's still empty. And then you look around in your community, and you know, and you see, you know, well, man, my community is just seem like it's not conducive for growth, and you're struggling, you got mind battles, and you don't know what to do, and you get to praying, and God just say, my grace is sufficient, son. You know, whether you pass the 25, 125, or whatever it is, it's still going to take the same grace of God to get you through. And see, I could take, you know, it just to show you something by the scripture, God could take a few folk and do more with a handful than he could do with a whole crowd of people. Right? Who that was? Gideon? Gideon came out with all them folk. But anyway, we went to Gideon. Glory! You know how it is. Brother Jack know what I'm talking about. Boy, we with you, Pastor. We with you, Pastor. Oh, my. And then, you know, God told Gideon, said, look, man. But all them people, no, you got too many people. Right? Ain't nobody going to get no glory out of this but me. Right? Put a little pressure on them. Put a little pressure on them. Amen. Tell them you're going to build a church. You know, and you need X amount of dollars. Well, Pastor, I feel a leading. Everybody get the feeling of leading when you start pulling on the pockets. You know, we need a special offering because we got brother so-and-so coming to town. Well, praise the Lord. Every time I turn around, you know, them brothers be asking for offerings. And when we was in denomination, we did it just gladly. Now you at a place where somebody might ask for $5 here and there. Praise the Lord. I tell you those brothers. Every time I turn around, we got to have the same reason you got to have new furniture every couple of years. Same reason you got to have a new car. That wasn't in my message. That part free. You need a new suit and a new dress and a new shoes and this, that, and the other. And, right? Huh? But then you get leadings. Right? Oh, God. It's something else, church, I tell you. But he wanted to be strong, but God, you know, God told him. Say, God spoke back to him and said, Paul, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Then Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Right? Yes, he said it. I glory in my infirmities and my weaknesses and so forth. I'm thanking God that I got all of it out of me. When I get everything out of me, then God can come in. But as long as I got some of myself there, then God can't get in. There, that's it. We smothered him out. We drive him away. From the poorest of us to the richest of us, from the least to the greatest, we keep God out of our lives because of ourselves. I'm going to read this and I'm going to go. He says, I've often said the greatest enemy I got is right? He's the one that gets in God's way. He's the one that gets lazy. He's you know what? On the way to church, we was listening to somebody on the radio, and they were just talking about the prayer life and how much believers pray about 30 minutes a week. If that's something like that, less than that, it's like 2 minutes a day on the average. 2 minutes a day. He had to correct, not everybody, but on the average. 2 minutes a day. Wow. And then we want God to do the miraculous, the supernatural. And here it is. Brother Branham had people praying for him constantly, and he was a prayer warrior. Right? He said, we get lazy. He's the one that gets to a place sometimes where he thinks he can do something about it. When he does, that shoves God right out of the picture. But when I can get rid of that guy, when I can get to a place that he's out of the way, then God can come over and do things that we and Brandon knows nothing about. That's when God can use you. That's when he can use any of you. He can use anybody when we get out of the way. But as long as we got ourselves in the way, then God can't. Right? See, God was not crazy when Paul was praying. Oh, God, you know, I'm just praying that if you just make me stronger, boy, I could really do something for the kingdom. God said, if I make you any stronger, Paul, you're going to get in the way. You're going to make a mess. I'm going to have to slay you, take you off the scene. Right? Sure. Because let me tell you something. It's a battle. It's a battle being in that state. It's a battle. Being humble it takes grace, church. Come on now. We preach humility and everything, but it takes grace to keep us humble. Right? It takes grace to keep us submissive. It takes grace. Yes, sir, and no, sir. And God bless you, pastor. And you 6'4", and Brother Jack probably about 5'11", right? You a giant, and you... God bless you, pastor, and you got, man, take humility, man, take grace to be in that state, man. Yeah. You got a whole lot of money, you know, you're a millionaire, and you know, we penny heirs, and you got to answer to us. I could buy you over and over and over again. Take grace. Right? It takes grace for a man to stay in his position. Take the grace of God. Right? Take the grace of God just to stay, you know, to stay humble. Right? And take the grace of God. Just to, look, man, just to be an usher in the church. It takes the grace of God. Because if without that, you start handling folk wrong. Didn't I tell you to sit here? Huh? It takes grace. You want, Pastor, why are my people feeling led? Because you got an usher and some deacons that they ain't got no grace. Right? It takes grace for y'all to listen to Brother Jack. To follow his leadership. Take the grace of God. Especially if he override all y'all thought because he's supreme authority in the church. It takes grace to humble yourself. I said, well, praise God, he's the pastor. Huh? It takes grace, church. It does. It takes grace. Well, you got an opinion, and he shoots your opinion down. And then vice versa. I'll take a little pressure off y'all. When you feel led, the church, whole church feel led to do something, and he ain't seeing it, it takes grace for him to say, you know what, but if they want to do that, okay, praise the Lord. That's a quote. That takes grace.
Yeah.
Right? For him to see, you know, if this will make them happy, even though I don't see it, but the majority saying, let's do it. Praise God. And if it don't come out right, he's just got to sit back there and not say, I told y'all so. See, it takes the grace of God, right? Because of all of the nationalities and all of the cultures to come to the unity of the faith. That takes grace for you to blend as a church. That takes grace. Everybody put everything aside to come together for a common goal to build up the kingdom. Because that's what this is all about. This is not about, and I'm going to go. This is not about, you know, us trying to be something and trying to be big name and this, that, and the other. Look, church, it's been the grace that I've sacrificed a lot just trying to make sure I'm in the will of God. From the time I became the pastor of Bible True Tabernacle, man, I sacrificed a lot. When folks wanted to push you up, Brother Smiley, we want you over here, and Brother Smiley, I want you to come do this. No. I don't feel led to do all of that. I'm young. I'm just starting out, and I don't really know what I'm doing. And man, No. I could have took the ball and ran with it. Praise God. Made a name for myself. But I didn't do it. Right? Didn't do it. It takes grace. And you just humble yourself and be led. And when doors open up, man, you just go through those doors. And yield yourself to Almighty God. You know, sometimes you might look, man, but I'll tell you what, Brother Jack's down to go a little bit. But you got to realize the sacrifices that's been made over the years. Over the years, see the all of the stuff y'all don't know nothing about. All of the sacrifices and all of the giving. When y'all in here, glory to God, preaching, everybody jumping and hollering and putting $2 in the pan. Oh, y'all saying, "Oh God, but it's my, I thought you said you were finna go." I am. Right? People need to reevaluate their commitment to God, especially in the area of giving. Because you know, a lot of times we don't even take into consideration how things are getting done around the church. The pressure ain't on you. You feel like, well, I paid my tithes and I gave my $2 offering. And then you gave McDonald's more than you did God. And then we get upset if Brother Jack get a new pair of shoes. But you don't know how he's taking what God has given and his resources and sowing it in the kingdom. And then God bless and say, I want you over here in Africa today. I want you over here tomorrow and this, that, and that, and then everybody. My God, seems like he's starting to go a little bit. And that's what it's all about. You're not taking into consideration what's being sold. Right? What's being sold? If you sow, you're going to reap. You sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. When a man really sows, man, God's got the blessing, right? He do things in the right spirit. God's got to bless that. I hope this been all right tonight. Maybe some of this been, you know, new since my church. They heard the first fold of the message. I had to give them something different. Blame it on them, right? Amen. But it's the true church. Take a lot of things into consideration when we doing things. Look, it takes money to run a church. I know that's taboo when you start talking about money around you know, us. It takes finances to run a church. I mean, when you know, it's easy to shout, man, when these preachers come to town. But let me tell you something. Man, it costs money to bring preachers into town. Hotel. Brother Jack probably don't even deal with this, because I don't even deal with it at my own church. But I ain't at home, so I go on and just drop it. Right? It takes hotels. And you don't want to put them in the slums. Right? I learned something from Sister Pearl Snow. I got to go, I know, but y'all going to be all right tomorrow. God going to give you strength. I'm feeling good. I feel like Brother West. I'm feeling 16. You know, in a couple of weeks, man, I'll be a half a century, so y'all bear with me. Listen, I remember I learned something years ago. We traveled back when we had our singing group. We went to South Carolina, all of us. We was going to help Brother Jason when he first started. We were singing in the park and all this, that, and the other. And we were on our way. We had to stay the night. And we were going to get up early in the morning and come back, because they were having a camp meeting in St. Augustine. Well, we trying to be cheap. Me, Troy, Brother Van, all up. We trying to be cheap. Sister Lewis, Sister Brown, I think, Sister Pearls and them. They like, man, we going up here into Howard Johnson. We like, y'all going to spend all that money for about 3 hours of sleep? Man, I ain't going to do it. Well, we paid that little bit of money. We walked up in there, we're like, oh, Lord. Boy, that thing was so nasty. You were like, Lord, I don't know whether to go sleep in the car. Man, my wife was like, brother. You know, when she really got something to say, she called me brother. Brother, don't you ever bring me to that. Like, don't you never break me. I mean, well, you were like, Lord, I don't know to take my shoes off. You ain't want to do nothing, man. It's like, so, I mean, you can't put brothers up in. A good hotel costs about $80 to $100 and something a night. A night. A night. And you got to consider where they coming from. I'm coming from Okeechobee, and you know, that ain't nothing. You can't get nobody no $100 coming from South Carolina, Ohio, out of the country. That's an insult. And people will talk about you. Man, don't go to Spirit and Truth. It'll be a boycott. They'll boycott Spirit and Truth. Don't go to Spirit and Truth. They don't put you up. They put you in a nasty motel. They don't take care of you. Then they give you $100. Praise the Lord. And they tell you, then reasoning, well, the brothers ain't supposed to preach for money. Sure ain't. Sure ain't. But a man can't travel all the way down here, because it take a five-fold ministry. Brother Jack and Brother Caleb knew. They just can't do it by themselves. It takes everybody to do it. Right? And Brother Jack get tired. I knew he was going to be tired coming in. So he asked me to, fine, wonderful. It's okay with me. Right? Him and maybe the trustees know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Right, Brother Capers? I'm glad I got my trustee with me. Huh? I know it's time to go. Y'all probably boy, got the brakes on down. Like, Jesus, stop him now. He done gone crazy. Grace! Do you know grace? I feel like humming right now. Do you know grace? Grace is in your pockets. You know, that's fresh. I had no idea I was going to say that. I'm finna go. But it is something to know. That's young and old. Y'all young people got jobs and all that kind of stuff like that. Support it. Tithes and I used to support a church, tithes and offerings and presents. That makes you just a member. Tithes and offering and presents make you a member. You ain't even got to have a Holy Ghost. That just make you a member of the church. That don't put you in the body. What puts you in the body is a birth. See? So, you know, Stella just looking in there, and peeling off them $2 and pushing them 20s and 50s down in the pocket. Try to relieve yourself some of that pressure. And put some of them. Because you sure to relieve the church finances. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I believe God wants that said. And then we wonder, well, why we ain't blessed? Why you ain't blessed? God said, how am I going to bless you? You robbing me. Well, I pay my tithe. What about offerings? Do you pray over the offerings? I'm finna go. Let a musician or two or three come on up. How many just love the Lord? You see why grace is a broad subject. It covers the entire gospel because it takes grace to give. Amen. Especially when you're trying to figure out how you're going to pay your bills. And it takes the grace of God, right? And I'm finna go. I done said this. I might as well hum now. I'm finna close. Like Brother Diggs say, it takes the grace of God to give you that assurance that you know what, when I make a complete sacrifice, a complete commitment to God to pay my tithes and my offering, that God, I could then say, all right, God, I done did what I supposed to do, right? Now, you say I could try you. You say I ain't supposed to have no lack, right? But when you ain't doing that and you struggling, and it's like you got a hole in your pocket, blame it on you. You can't blame God because you got a curse on you. You got a curse on you. So I appreciate the Lord tonight. Appreciate the opportunity to come and be able to be here and fellowshipping and support and just kind of. I know Brother Jack been preaching since maybe Friday and moving around, him and Sister Erica. Heard they did a wonderful job over there, and maybe we'll get. I'll just throw this out here since I got the past over here. Maybe we'll try to get y'all sisters over to Okeechobee and let Sister Erica do one of those. What y'all call it? Modesty things. Yeah. I think it's needed. It's needed. And it's just something that we thought about. I understand she did one over there, and I think we need a little bit of it in Okeechobee. So I think we maybe try to set up something and get the sisters out. Maybe not in August, but August is packed up. September sometime, and try to do that because even with that. You still see folk like, you didn't get that. You didn't. Because I seen folk, the time that y'all had it, I saw some folks that were here at that thing. And then I've seen them in recent youth meetings, and I'm like, they didn't even get it. Because they still dressing the same way. Yeah. they still dressing the same way. And Sunday I was striking this and that with the sisters on girdles and this and that and the other. And I know they didn't feel good, and I don't do that often. But I did that. I knew why I did that, because I know it's kind of a little something. And it didn't go over right, you know, that part. But you got to do those things. So I thought maybe it's better these things coming from a sister than a brother, because I don't like talking about all that stuff, you know. Well, Brother Smiley must got spirit. But what are you looking for? He should be looking. Yeah, they get to getting spiritual quotes. And I say you're supposed to turn your head. But how you going to turn your head that way? You look all y'all like that. Lord help us.
Tell you what, I appreciate that tonight. There's so much that was said that I know everyone in here could apply. We talk from the angle of Paul in ministry, but even in just everyday life, different things that you might have saw seem like the hand of God just block you from getting involved in certain things. Because he knows exactly where he wants you at. He knows exactly what he's doing. I mean, God is in control. And, you know, it's sometimes just hard for us to kind of release and let him have control. But we got to know that he's always in control. No matter what we're going through. Right where you are right now. Whether it's financially, whether it's spiritually, emotionally, mentally. God wants you there. That's where God wants you. That's where he's going to reach you at, right there. And, you know, I mean, Brother Smiley was just kind of talking. There's so much to be said there. I'll just say this. This was the first trip that the Lord blessed me and my wife on where it was almost impossible for us to spend a dollar. And when he's saying that, there's things that I really would like to share. Just I don't like to put things on tape. But I had already told you all that the trip was, you know, the brother, you know, felt led to have us. So, you know, when you invite people, you're supposed to take care of people, right? And in Africa, they got that revelation. A brother invited me and my wife, so he took care of it. Now, if any of y'all just go look on the internet, look at tickets to Ghana. ACCRA is the airport, Accra. See how much it costs you to go there. And then when you got somebody say, I'm inviting you, and we'll actually pay for you to come. And then when you get there, won't let you spend a dollar. You start adding up the costs. This ain't cheap. See? But that's how blessings flow. But we invite people, say, now they got to pay their way to get here. When they get here, we'll give them $100. That ain't blessing. That ain't going to bless you, and ain't going to bless them either. Church, if we want to go to the next level, we got to start acting like that. I'm just being honest. You know, we cannot continue to think the way that we think and expect God to bless. It's not going to happen. But, I mean, this just kind of, you know, took my thinking to a whole nother level. I be wanting to be a blessing to people. You know, certain times different brothers come through, like Brother Diggs. That brother, his ministry is his way of living. He got bills to pay. See? So you don't want a person like that to come through the church and, you know, and you just giving $100. That brother, that's $100 going to take care of gas in his car. That's about it. But he got bills to pay. Now, if I bless him or we as a church try to bless him so that, brother, let this take care of your bills. Even, and I've seen some of y'all do this, and I want to commend you on it. I want to take time to commend you. even though the church may give a love offering, I've seen some of y'all go after y'all wasted, brother, here, I want you to just here, take that. Put it right on top of the love offering. God sees that. God sees that. See, I mean, God don't let these things go unnoticed. And I know all the way up to the day we was leaving, I said, Lord Jesus, I'm going over here, but Lord, we're going by faith. I could tell you right before I left, God had a brother call me from another state, and I wouldn't pick up the phone, so I sent him a text and said, brother, I'm in a meeting. He's like, so what? Call me. I said, no. I said, but you know what? I'm getting ready to go to Ghana, you know, on tomorrow, leaving. He's like, oh, so that's why God wanted me to call you. He says, is there a Walmart near you? I said, yeah, it's a Walmart near me. Walmart's everywhere. He said, okay. He said, I feel led to send you $200 for your trip to Ghana. He said, you got guest ministers coming in into town and everything. So, you know, at least give it to the guest ministers or do something. But I want to give you something to help out. All the way from a whole nother state. When Brother Smiley said that, we got to think like this. You know, and actually, I know I preached a sermon here recently, you know, about even so send I you. And in that sermon, I brought out the quote Brother Branham said that all of us are missionaries. And he said, if you can't go, then help send somebody.
Yeah.
And after I spoke that, different people just begin to give just, you know, whatever they can. You know, hey, we want to give towards the missions. Or, Brother Jack, whenever the Lord leads you to go, then we want to help you go too. God sees that. God sees that. Church, I told you, every little dollar count. Every dollar count. And now God know whether you got a dollar to give or whether you got $100 to give. God know that too. See, but we got to get beyond that thought process. I told y'all when my daughter went to church that night and I had just given her allowance and you know, allowance ain't easy to come by. You know, it's kind of difficult to get that money up. But I gave her that money and after church we was headed to go get something to eat. I said, okay, y'all got money? She said, no. I said, what you mean you ain't got no money? I just gave you some money. Where your money at? She said, I put it in church. I said, say, praise the Lord, dear. Yes, that's fine, dear. No problem. You want to put that money in church? That's fine. But that wasn't the first thing coming out my mouth. And had I spoke it, it would have put a complex on her. And she would have just been happy giving a dollar. Or, well, since I'm a child, I put a quarter in. Any of y'all ever put a quarter in church? Come on now, tell the truth and shame the devil. Come on, a quarter in church. But at her age, she put $20 in church. She put $20 in church. Now I'd rather see her do it. As long as God bless her to do it, I'd rather see her do it all the time. And I just, you know, we got to go to another level, church. And I mean, I tell you, just so much in that message there tonight. There's a lot there, I just appreciate it. But you know, let's prepare. I mean, I said all that. Now I'm setting y'all up for an offering. You know, that ain't right, is it? But this is the way we normally do it on Wednesday night. We just do the offering at the end of the service. But church, we're so happy. You know, I must say that I am extremely proud of our First Lady, amen, Sister Erica. I'm very, very proud of her. And just the way that everything just kind of came, you know, just how it all went down over there. She had no intention of doing her modesty presentation. It was just somewhat... you know, the pastor had kind of set up, he got a little room, a hall that he rented at a college, and he said, you were going to bring everybody, put them in this room, then he would just wanted me to do like the youth talk that we do here with the young people. He said, just do that with them, and that's what he told me. I said, okay, no problem, I'll be prepared. And then a couple of days before we got there, the people called him and said, look, y'all got too many people coming into this room, so what we're going to do is give y'all two rooms. And so he said, two rooms. What am I going to do with two rooms? How am I going to work this? I said, I'll tell you what. I put the sisters on one side and the brothers on the other side. And he said, I just wait till Brother Jack get here, and then we'll ask him. So he sat us down and said, Brother, I got this dilemma, and I was going to think maybe that you could speak to the brothers, and then I don't know if you're okay with this, but can your wife say something to the sisters? I say, well, she does have this little presentation that she do on modesty. Perfect. Because he had just finished preaching on modesty at his church. For the past 3 weeks, he was telling the sisters about them stilettos coming into church with them stilettos on. And they got so bad, they had to tell that they'd say, don't come to church with them. He said, if you do, we're going to send you home. See, that's old-time Pentecost right there. See, so some of the sisters tried them. Come right on up and go right on back out of here. Get on out of here with them stilettos. Go home, change your shoes before you come to church. I said, boy, I tell you, nowadays, the church would get sued. Somebody did something like that, But it's good that somebody want to hold on to, the truth, modesty, and so my wife with the presentation that she has, and some of you all sisters, y'all seen it, she just kind of went on in and, she was able to just kind of share everything that she had. She just had an open floor, and it just so happened that she was getting into some of the deeper things there. The pastor happened to walk into the room and saw some of the footage, and all the sisters just felt so embarrassed for the pastor to have to see some of those things. But you know what? It caused him to see that this was no joke. This was the real thing. And she was really digging in and just sharing, the truth with the sisters over there. And so many were blessed, amen, by that presentation. And now the pastor's saying we need more, and I'm like, we don't know what else to do, but whatever God has for this, then we release it in God's hands. And I'm just so proud of the way Sister Erica conducted herself and handled herself, with that. It's a real blessing. She represented Spirit and Truth very well. And we don't know where that will go, but, whatever's a help. I mean, I think somebody asked her to put a website together and all this, it's amazing. And the thing that I think that blessed me the most is that, I hate to say it, but at home, we don't support one another. We got to beg for people to come to these get-togethers. We got to beg for it. But you go out there and everybody just, we need more of that. Please give us more. We got the best. We announce weeks in advance. But I know some people don't want to hear it. That's why they don't come. Right? But God will hold you accountable for that. God will hold you accountable. See? Amen. Amen. You can't run from the truth. It'll find you. Gonna find you, but we thank God and all the sisters that have helped to make that presentation what it was, your input, your feedback, all of that has been very, very important, and it has been thus far a blessing in Ghana, and we just don't know where God's gonna take it from there, but I was very proud, amen, very proud of how Sister Erica was able to kind of bring that together, just really represent it very well. Very, very well, and the pastor couldn't stop talking about it on Sunday morning, and I just noticed how he talked about what she did compared to what I did. He didn't even know what I did, but that was all right. And I told her, "said yours gonna be a hit. It's gonna be a hit," And she just did. She did an awesome job. Awesome job, brothers. Let's prepare to come and let's participate in tonight's tithes and offering. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Amen. As we participate in giving tonight. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity we have to give, Lord, to you as you've given to us. We trust, Lord, that you would use it for the furtherance of your kingdom here. And we thank you for your servant, Brother Smiley, just coming to speak the word to our hearts, how we've been blessed tonight. So much that was shared here. And God, we know, Lord, that every one of us could apply a portion of the message tonight to our lives. Help us to realize it's your grace that's sufficient for us, no matter where we are right now, and financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, whatever, God. You have us right where we are because, Lord, that's what it's going to take to get our attention. And that's what it's going to take to keep us humble. Lord, to keep us on our face before you. Help us, Lord, to always, Lord, stay behind you. Never get too far, never get in front of you, never get too far behind, but keep the word in sight. Let us stay right there, Lord, in that place. Every trial, every tribulation, every distress, everything you send has purpose, and we're grateful for it tonight. Bless our giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just announce really, really quick while we're participating in tithes and offering. A couple things that are going on. You can go ahead. Brother Fred Mullins did invite us to South Carolina for Labor Day weekend, and I know that hotel rooms right now, I believe it's $70 a night if you desire to go. Right now we have not engaged getting a bus or anything, but I know many of the saints from Okeechobee are going to be driving their vehicles up and everything like that. If we have enough here that where we might be able to get a bus, it's usually always about $100 to $120 per person for the bus ride. We would need to know right away so we can get working on that. But we were invited to come up for the services there that weekend. Amen. And I think it's the last weekend of August, first weekend of September. So just keep that in mind. Also, got an invitation from Brother Famille. Brother Famille, pastor down in Miami. He is going to be having some youth services, I think, the weekend of August 11th and 12th. Yes, I believe that's, 11th and 12th, which is a Saturday and a Sunday. It's a back-to-school type service, and I was asked to minister, amen, for a couple of those services, so just keep those services in mind. August 10th, we are supposed to have another youth service, and Brother Matt Watkins will be here to minister for us on August 10th at the youth service. We'll host it here at the church, so keep that in mind. And I believe that is all that I'm supposed to announce for tonight. So praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Let's just sing a chorus of this before we leave. Amen. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more he takes control. The more that I can humble myself, the more he lifts me up. Oh, and every day I leave, Lord, I love you more. Come on, sing it one more time. The more that I surrender, the more that I surrender, for the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more it takes control. The more that I can humble myself, the more you must be up. Oh, and every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Hallelujah. The more that I surrender, say, the more that I surrender, the light, my Lord, and the more that I release my cares, the more it takes control. The more that I can humble myself, the more he lifts me up. Oh, and every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Oh, every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we thank you. Lord, for just being able to come into the presence of the Lord tonight and hear the word of God as it was spoke to our hearts. God, we just appreciate what we heard so much that we can apply. We ask that you to help us, Lord, not just to let this be something that goes in one ear and out the other, but help us to let it register. We pray that you bless Brother Smiley, Lord, his family, the church. Lord, is he just even speaking from his own personal experience? And certainly we as ministers get discouraged at times, and certainly the people get discouraged at times, but God, right where we are, we have to recognize and realize that your grace is sufficient for us. And Lord, help us to be mindful of that. So we trust, God, that you give us grace to continue to press on, no matter what it is that we're facing. We pray that you bless your people now as they leave this place, but not your presence. May they continue to meditate on the words we're shared here tonight. And we thank you, God, for each and every heart that came out tonight. Bless each one in their own special way. Keep us until we're able to meet again on Friday night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Again, we want to thank the Lord for Brother Smiley. Amen. And Church Bible Truth Tabernacle, we thank you all for coming out and just being a part of the service on tonight. Also good to see Brother Mike's son. Amen. Brother Kiki. Amen. God bless you. Good to have you with us on tonight. Amen. At this time, my brothers will come to dismiss you.